And sometimes when we're looking at the bleakest moment, we're staring at the darkest moment is when God says, now I want you to believe me. I want you to trust me.
This is Straight Talk.
Thank you for tuning into Straight Talk Radio. This is Joshua Hollick. We are so excited to bring you today's program. I'm here with Pastor Mark Jobe, Senior Pastor at New Life Community Church here in Chicago. Pastor Mark, thank you for this great message. You've titled it Before Your Moment. You're talking about the transformation, the total life change that can happen in just a moment when you meet Jesus. And you've got us in Mark chapter 5. You know, why is this message so important? Somebody's listening today, and they really need to tune in. Why is that?
Can I tell you, first of all, Joshua, that I love your energy. I love your excitement about the Word of God.
You know,
every time I come in here, man, I feel it. Energy goes up. I wish people could be in the studio with us and just experience the energy that we have around the Word of God and our faith level and expectation. And this message, man, wow. Can I just say that we believe that in a moment, life can change. In fact, on a regular basis, I call people to salvation in a moment because I know that someone could walk in an auditorium far from God, reeking like alcohol, in their party clothes from the night before, and in a moment, as they're called to Jesus and experience the power of the gospel, and there's a dynamic combustion that happens when they surrender, repent, acknowledge him, and they can walk out of that place. Yeah, maybe not fully changed, but with the completely being able to start a new life in Jesus Christ. I believe in the power of decisions that alter our life.
That's powerful. That happened to me right here at New Life. It'll be 20 years ago this August.
Wow.
Yeah, and I know the power of the
gospel.
Big
high five.
Yes. The power of the gospel is real. And friends, some of you are at the beginning of your moment. You may not even realize it. And so our call, our encouragement to you today is to tune in your heart, prepare yourself. There might be something that's about to shift for you, even as you listen to the Word of God today. This is Before Your Moment, Mark chapter 5, the story of Jesus.
Let me tell you this. You'll always have the two voices. You cannot shut out the other voice. It's always going to be there. There's going to be the voice of temptation, the voice of the enemy. There's going to be the voice of people giving you bad counsel. And you'll have the voice of the Holy Spirit, the voice of your conscience, the voice of good counsel speaking into your life. And I'm going to tell you, you can't shut out the bad voices, but you can choose who you lean into. See, the voice that you lean into the most is the voice that becomes loudest. You can't shut out that negative voice that's saying, no, she'll never be healed. Give up. Your daughter won't be well. You can't shut out. You're going to hear that voice. But you can choose out of those two voices what voice you're going to lean into. Have you ever blocked someone out deliberately? Husband, if you nod your head like this, I'm just warning you, man, you may be in trouble. Like, don't point to your wife and say, yeah, no, don't do that. You'll be in the doghouse for a while. But has there ever been someone like you're concentrating on something and there is something going on in the background and you just say, I got to block this out. I can't listen to it. I study sometimes in Starbucks or coffee shop. You know why? No one can find me. I escape. I get in a corner with my computer and I work on stuff. If I'm in the office, there's just phone calls and people all the time. So I find quiet places. And here's the thing. There's people chatting, arguing, lovers' quarrels, financial deals, teenagers. And you know, I just kind of like block it out. I know I'm just going to focus on what I'm focusing on. I need to concentrate. And you just block it out. And so here's the thing. You have to choose what you're going to listen to. This man, Jairus, he had two voices. One voice that said to him, give up. It doesn't matter. It's over. It's not worth the fight anymore. She's dead. And the other voice of Jesus saying, daughter, you're healed, you're alive. When Jesus saw the conflict that Jairus was having between the two voices, he looked over at Jairus and he tells him to do two things. He said, listen to what Jesus says. He said, don't be afraid, just believe. Now I want you to notice that fear and faith are in conflict with one another. Faith is not a one-time choice, but a continual choice maintained in the face of fear. It's a conscious decision to focus on the voice of Jesus and his word, instead of the negative voice that keeps speaking into your head. I want you also to notice that when he says, don't be afraid, just believe, that both of these are in the Greek, if you look at it, they're both verbs are in the present tense, indicating that both fear and faith were present at the same time. Don't keep being afraid, just keep believing. That they were operating at the same time, and God is saying, let your faith start dispelling your fear. At times we will live with fear and faith, and one is going to push the other off the mountain. It's like musical chairs. You go around the circle. Have you ever played musical chairs? And when the music stops, two people try to get on one chair. You ever seen that? I've seen some aggressive musical chairs players. Some of you are like that. You're, boom, get out of there. And you're tossing and turning and pulling the chair and grabbing and pushing. But in the end, only one bottom ends up on that chair. It's the way it is with faith and fear. You may tussle for a little bit. It may go back and forth for a while. But in the end, it's only one that sits on the chair of your heart. It's either faith or fear. And you have to determine and have to decide what's going to be on the chair. Will it be faith or will it be fear? Number three, if you're taking notes, write this down. So not only do you need to choose where you're going to turn, you need to choose the voice that you will listen to. And number three, you need to choose to turn your back on the crowd sometimes. Verse 37. So now Jairus has been told, your 12-year-old daughter's dead. She's dead. Sometimes we get to a point where we feel something is beyond repair, beyond hope, beyond a miracle. We can believe when it's bad, but we can't believe when it's tragic. We can believe while there's still hope inside of us that, yeah, maybe God can turn my husband around. I see little glimmers of hope in him. I see signs that maybe you're working, but then it goes really bad again. And then you just kind of shut down and say, no, now he's dead. Now there's no resurrection power. It's not necessarily that the circumstances have changed. It's that the circumstances have convinced you that it's come to a point of no return. Jesus can heal the sick and raise the dead. He's the miracle worker. But in our minds, sometimes we think it's come to a point where, no, God can't work anymore in this situation. Jesus is on his way towards Jairus' house. And the Bible says that he didn't let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of Jesus, the brother of James. Interesting that he didn't invite all the disciples, he just invited the three disciples. You know who those three disciples were? His strongest leaders. His inner circle, his faith-filled men. Notice Judas wasn't invited. Peter, James, and John. Can I tell you something? Sometimes you need the strongest, faith filled, crazy, believing, on fire, over the top, Jesus loving, Holy Spirit filled, fanatic followers of Christ to be there. Sometimes, when you're going to your moment, you need to pick the strongest, because this was about to be not just a miracle, this was about to be a resurrection. Jesus needed some disciples that, hey, they were the same disciples that could handle the Mount of Transfiguration when Elijah appeared. This was the same disciples, Peter, James, and John. This was the strongest of the strongest. These were the guys that, hey, I'm picking those that I think can handle it. Those that aren't going to doubt. Those that are going to believe. Those that are going to say, yes, Jesus, you can do it. Because I believe that sometimes we need to turn our back on a doubt-filled crowd that laughs at what God can do, and we need to get an inner circle of faith that believes that God can do it. And it tells us that Jesus saw the commotion with people crying and wailing loudly, and he went in and he said to them, why all the commotion and wailing? And then he shocks the crowd by telling them something in faith that they couldn't understand in the natural. He's in the middle of a funeral. People are wailing. And by the way, what you may not understand about Jewish funerals is that they had professional wailers that they would hire to come to wail at their funerals. They would hire musicians and wailers. I'd love to be in that interview. Sir, I want to hire your service. Could you give me a good wail? Let's just, you know, emotion, tears. Let's give me your best wail, sir. Yeah, hired for the wailing. They would hire professional mourners. This is a custom of the day. Even the poor people, they would hire professional mourners. So amongst the crowd, they were family members and friends, but they were also professional mourners. Wailing and crying and a big commotion over a 12-year-old girl, and this was a leader in the synagogue, so a big crowd showed up. This was a tragic occasion, and people are wailing, and there's a commotion, and it's very emotional. And Jesus walks in, and the wailers see the father who's paying for the wailing, and so they crank it up a little bit to see if they'll get a tip. Let's wail louder. The father's in here. They see Jesus walking in, and they're wailing and commoting, and Jesus says, why all the commotion? And so they pause a little bit from their wailing to hear what Jesus is going to say, and Jesus says, listen, he speaks in faith what the natural cannot understand. He says, the child is not dead, but asleep. Now, you can tell they were professional mourners and not really sincere, because they go from wailing to laughing. They're not like, what are you saying, Jesus? They're like, what? It says, verse 40, but they laughed at him. But they laughed at him.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Before Your Moment, which is from our brand new series called Moved. After this broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark with his message called Before Your Moment.
Can I tell you this? As you prepare for your moment, what God's going to do, what God wants to do, how God wants to turn things around, as you prepare for your moment, there's going to be a crowd sometimes that will laugh at what you believe and know that God needs to do and wants to do and has to do in your life. There will be a laughing, doubt-filled, cynical crowd around you that will laugh at the things that God wants to do. And I want you to notice what Jesus did. He didn't try to convince the crowd. He didn't try to educate the crowd. He didn't try to talk to them about how powerful he was. He didn't say, well, turn in scriptures to this. Let me convince you. I have power. Didn't you see me raise? Didn't you see me open the eyes of the blind? Hey, I made the lame to walk. What makes you think that I can't raise this from the dead? He didn't talk to a cynical crowd. Can I tell you something? Stop wasting your breath on a crowd that's laughing. The Bible says, don't throw your pearls before the swine. Don't throw something precious before those that are going to despise it. Don't try to convince a cynical crowd. Don't try to convince the mourners, the cynicals, the laughers. Sometimes you just need to go into your room, turn your back on the crowd, and the Bible says that Jesus, he kicked everybody out of the room, the inner room. And he brought only Peter, James, and John and the parents. Why? He wanted an atmosphere of faith, not an atmosphere of hecklers. Sometimes you need an atmosphere of faith. You need to stop going to that. Yeah, you need to stop hanging out at that bar. While your girlfriends heckle at you about the husband that you're believing is going to turn around. Girl, I'd kick him to the curb. If I had a guy like that, he's never going to turn around. Are you stupid? Why are you with that guy? Hey, and you walk out of there 2 hours with the hecklers. You get back home. Your husband says, hey, honey, how you doing? Don't call me honey. What'd I do this time? Hey, you've been with the hecklers. You've been with the people that don't believe. You've been with the naysayers. You've been with the doubters, the critics, the laughers, the cynics. You hang around with that atmosphere, you stop believing. The Bible says that when Jesus went to his hometown, that he could do no miracles among them except heal a few sick because of their unbelief. Why? Because in Jesus' hometown, they didn't see him as the Messiah. They saw him as little Jesse, the son of the carpenter. They had no faith. And in an atmosphere of faith, Jesus' miracles were not happening because they lacked faith. There was no atmosphere of believing him, trusting him, celebrating him. Jesus looks for a place, an atmosphere where there's people that say, we're going to believe together for God to do something. Some of you need to close your door on the crowd. Some of you need to turn the back on the heckling crowd. You need to get a couple of people that really believe, start praying, interceding, trusting, believing with you, encouraging you through it. Because you're not going to make it if you don't. The Bible says that number four. And lastly, I close with this. Before your moment, not only do you need to choose where to turn, choose the voice you'll listen to, choose to turn your back on the crowd. And number four, you will need to choose to accept, believe the power of his word. The Bible says after he put them all out, he took the child, father and mother, and the disciples who were with them, and he went into where the child was. Can I say something to you? Sometimes the greatest victory will happen as we stare at the greatest defeat. Amen. Jesus brings them into the room of the dead daughter. As they stare at a dead corpse. Lifeless. motionless, pale. God's not afraid to bring us right up close to a great challenge and say, look at it up close. And sometimes when we're looking at the bleakest moment, we're staring at the darkest, bleakest, hardest moment is when God says, now I want you to believe me. I want you to trust me. Believe that I have power to do what can never be done in the natural, but can be done in the supernatural. I believe that some of you today are staring. You're in the room. You're staring at something that challenges your faith. You're staring at something that when you look at it makes you sad, makes you feel like this could never turn around. There could never be life in this. There could never be resurrection. You're in the room staring at it. I don't know what the challenge is. It may be a financial challenge, a health challenge, a marital challenge. It may be a son or daughter that's a prodigal. It may be your own life. Where you stare at your life and you say, I've tried so much. I just don't think I can turn around. I don't think I can change. Maybe you stared at yourself in the mirror this morning and said, I'm going to give it one last try. I'm going to go to church, but I don't know if there's any hope. I don't know if this person I'm looking at in the mirror can ever, ever break through, ever, ever turn around. And the more you look at yourself, the more defeated you become when you stare at your issue. Hey, let me tell you, there's someone other than your issue. There's someone other than your problem in the room, and his name is Jesus. Don't stop staring. Stop staring at the problem. Start staring at Jesus. Remember, there's someone bigger, someone more powerful in the room than your problem. There's the Son of God, the omnipotent Son of the living God, who has all power to do all things, who was resurrected from the dead, King Jesus. The Bible says that when the door was closed, when the people were out, he went where the child was laying. That hand that would soon have nail marks in it. The hand that, in not too far in the future, would be pierced. The hand that would be nailed to a cross. That hand took the hand of a lifeless 12-year-old girl. The little hand of a little girl. He took it in his hand. I can see Jesus leaning into the girl as the parents stand there in the room grasping each other. It's a moment. It's the moment. They've made choices before, though. They chose to go to Jesus. They chose to listen to the voice of faith. They chose to shut out the crowd. And now they have one last choice. Will I believe the word? Jesus takes the hand and he moves into the little girl. I imagine that he doesn't shout it. Jesus doesn't need theatrics to manifest his power. How many of you know that Jesus can heal someone quietly? You don't have to put on a southern voice, southern accent, shout and scream and say, you're healed. I think Jesus can do it really quietly and powerfully.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church in Chicago. This concludes his message called Before Your Moment, which is from our brand new series called Moved. Join us again on the next Straight Talk as we continue our series. As I mentioned in the middle of our program, we have a great way for you to get this broadcast for free. Just subscribe to our Straight Talk Radio app. It's free, and you can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 400 other messages, great resources, and a link to our New Life Community Church page, as well as Pastor Mark's 2020 vision and our New Life locations. We hope that you check it out. There are 27 life-giving churches around Chicago, and if you would like to know more information about them, just go to www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Be sure you tell them you heard about New Life from the Straight Talk Radio program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again and tell a friend about our Straight Talk Radio program. Have a great evening, and God bless.